in God's Word to Acts chapter 3. Our purpose in these studies on Sunday evenings is to grasp something of how God brings revival to His church. He revives us, and we begin with these times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord, and then we will go into a study very important for us in our daily lives of how business itself, everyday life, is for the glory of God and those callings that all of us are involved in. And then our purpose is to go from there to see something of the way in which we can be involved in those ministries of mercy. That is, we are the church on the Jericho Road. And there are those to whom we can minister every day. They're all about us. How can we minister to those who are in great need, that are in our families, that are in our church family, that are just out there without Christ in great need all around us? How can we be the Good Samaritan on the Jericho Road? This evening is the first of two messages on revival and times of refreshing. We'll have a time for questions and answer, but I'd like to focus this evening upon this subject of times of refreshing. Let us read these words beginning with verse 17 of Acts chapter 3. Here we have Peter speaking. He says, "Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what He had foretold through all the prophets, saying that His Christ, His anointed one, would suffer. Repent, then, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that they may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything as He promised long ago through His holy prophets." May God give us understanding this evening of these times of refreshing. As we look at this subject, I believe it's the great need of the Church of Jesus Christ in our day, as it has been all throughout the history of Christ's Church. Times of refreshing from the Lord. A Christian researcher in the year 2003 polled a cross-section of born-again Christians, defined as those who report having made a personal commitment to Christ and expect to get to heaven because they accepted Jesus. The Wall Street Journal cited the following data from that poll. 26% of these born-again people believe all religions are essentially the same. 50% believe that a life of good works will get them to heaven. 45% don't believe Satan exists. 35% do not believe Jesus rose physically from the dead. 52% don't believe in the Holy Spirit as a living, personal member of the Godhead. 33% said they believed in same-sex marriages. 39% believe it's morally acceptable for couples to live together before marriage. Now, if this were the world, we'd have some kind of understanding of that. If this were liberal churches, we would all say, well, of course, that's what they believe. But here we are with those who have been turned born-again Christians, professing to be evangelicals, as they're called. Something is terribly wrong. There is need in the Church of Jesus Christ for revival, times of refreshing, times that the the great God of the Scriptures would come and cut away all the man-made religion and bring us to tremble at hearing His Word. That we would hear the Word and know that God is speaking. We need revival in the church today, not just in general, but here at Cornerstone. I would like to focus upon just a few things very briefly this evening. First of all, times of refreshment come from God. As we would focus upon those very words from Acts 3:19 and 20, there is that expression that times of refreshing come from the Lord. The great day of Pentecost has just occurred. The Holy Spirit has been sent. There has been that time of waiting until God came and visited the church. The Holy Spirit was sent by that Lord Jesus Christ who is upon the throne, the one who is exalted as both the Lord and Christ by God Himself. And He sends the Holy Spirit to His church. That great day He visits His people, and we come all these many years later, and we're not looking for a new wind-up to repeat that day. We couldn't repeat it if we all tried all night. There was the mighty wind. There was the tongues of fire. There was the sign to show that God was speaking to all the nations of the earth in all the different languages of the world. But we come, yes, and ask for that visitation of God's Spirit among His people. Not a rewind of the day of Pentecost, but that coming of the Spirit with His making known the very presence of Christ to His church. A time of refreshing from the Lord. There is a sense in which a model for the church is given throughout the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2 has that sense of how the church is that church that is experiencing times of refreshment from the Lord. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to everyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is that spirit of refreshment that the Lord has given us as a picture in the book of Acts. This is revival. The emphasis, though, that we need to capture afresh, I believe, is that it comes from the Lord. It is from His hand. It is from the Lord. We might think of it in these terms, that true revival has this stamped upon it from the Lord. We all remember those days long ago when we thought, well, this is made in Japan. It's not quite as good as that which says made in the USA. Or we find something today made in China. It's stamped where it's from. And we need to have that sense to know from God's Word that true revival, true refreshment is not man-made, but God-made. It's from heaven itself. This is the main path of carrying out the work of God's kingdom, that of bringing refreshment to His people. And then they are a blessing to those around them. And then there is that sliding back, and yet God comes in His sovereign grace and visits His people and refreshes them. And it is good. Notice with me, though, also that these times of refreshment come from the preaching of God's Word. You can read through Acts chapter 2, and there is that day of Pentecost, and there was that preaching of the Word of God. Peter preaches this great sermon, and the people are cut to the heart. What must we do? He preaches the Word of God, and God's people hear that, and there is blessing that comes. In Acts chapter 3, where we are taking our text from this evening, here is Peter again. Peter and John have seen this miraculous, wondrous way of God's working, and the people come around them at Solomon's colonnade, and Peter sees the people gathered together, and then he begins to address them. Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified His servant Jesus. You handed Him over to be killed, and you disowned Him before Pilate, though he had decided to let Him go. You disowned the Holy and Righteous One and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the Author of life, but God raised Him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man, whom you see and know, was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through Him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see. And then Peter calls on them to repent. There is this preaching of Christ. There is this directness in the preaching of Christ and to the people. You have done this. You need to repent. There's nothing here of that kind of off-in-the-air theoretical sort of, if one thinks that maybe he should somewhere, somehow there's something that should be taking place. He is direct, and he is preaching with authority the Word of God. Notice verse 15 here before us, how direct he speaks. You kill the Author of life. Very direct. He calls on them to repent. Here is this Word of God that is sharp and penetrating, speaking to them of their need to repent. And I would say to you this evening that what we have in these chapters in the book of Acts is not anything different than what we have in all the other places of Scripture. We have the Word of God coming to His people, and it is very sharp and powerful. It points out to them how they have left their first love, and they need to repent and return again to do those works they did before. That's the message of revival, of times of refreshing from the Lord. The last point I would make about revival this evening is that times of refreshment are needed in our lives. Maybe just in a practical way, after some 2 years of remodeling, and some of that time that was long hours, different ones working, we do need that time of refreshment, that, oh, the Lord coming in among us. Some speak at times in all of their work and busyness of burnout, of tiredness, of being worn out. And hear this word that is given to us in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, of refreshment. It really has a background to it of a word that we can understand living here in the desert, of refreshment, of coolness, of that of coming to drink of cool water. I always remember leading a group of young men in the Superstitions on the way to Bluff Springs, and going up early in the morning before the sun was up, and somehow or another we took the wrong trail. I was leading the group and I took the wrong trail, and we took out across, and it was probably a couple of hours on that trail, and I knew we were on the wrong trail, and all we could do is turn back around and go all the way back and catch the right trail. But somewhere along the way, about 5 extra hours on that trail, we were out of water. And it was hot. And I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but after a while no one was talking because our tongues had swollen up. And it was really getting serious. I still remember those moments arriving at Bluff Springs. There was a large cover on this spring. We tore it off and we were all down on our hands and knees and just sucking up that water. There was refreshment. That's what revival is. There is a refreshment that comes from the Lord for His people. He refreshes us with His presence. We drink of Him. We enjoy Him. There is a nurturing and strengthening, a coolness in our heated activity, rest and refreshment that comes from drinking of the Lord and enjoying His goodness and grace. Now someone might even say, well, revival and this refreshment is only something that is temporary. But I would say to you, so is a shower in the month of July, but it is good for you to take a shower and enjoy that. God has given to us the privilege of these times of refreshment from the Lord. We need revival. We need times of refreshing from the Lord. And I'd like to talk to you just for a few minutes with some questions. This whole subject of revival has been something since the earliest time that I came to Christ, has been one of the great desires and prayers of my life. So when we ask the question, what is revival? Certainly we should understand that it's God coming and awakening His people. Awakening of a lethargic, sleeping church. God bringing conviction, humbling and convicting His people so that some even come to wonder if they've been Christians at all. It's God coming into our presence, and that results in light to those who are around us, in our speaking with a boldness about Christ. How often have we found ourselves at just that right opportunity and we're afraid to speak of Christ? When our hearts have been revived, we have a boldness to speak of Him to others. I ask you this evening, though, why is there so little interest in these times of refreshing from the Lord? Why is there so little interest among those who call themselves Christians? So little interest in revival in our day. Certainly we could understand that from the world. The world doesn't want anything of Christianity. Or we could understand that of those of liberalism and modernism and those who really reject the work of God in the life of this world. But how is it, as we think of those who, though they have come to a man-centered outlook on life, why is it that they shy away from these teachings? It's precisely that they want to organize everything. They want to put it all together. They want to produce what God is going to do. I remember well hearing the president of the university I was attending in 1964 saying, "The times of revival are past. God no longer works in that way in His church." And I remember leaving that chapel being so saddened, thinking, can't God yet do a great work in the earth? And I believe His Word teaches us He is yet to do a great work, showing His glory by reviving His people and His light to shine all about them. for his own glory. But I find something that's very disturbing to me, that those who believe that, yes, the work is all of the Lord in salvation, those who call themselves reformed, that is, they've come back to the Word of God as that which has remade them, reformed them into that teaching of Scripture, that I find little interest among them. Strange as it may seem, I think we've come to a time of a danger of almost an intellectualism. We have learned these great things about God. We're intellectually, with understanding, much more than all these other people. We can exegete the Scriptures, expound the Word of God. We go verse by verse, chapter by chapter, through the whole of the Bible. And there's very little thought given to revival. We do it right. And there's a certain intellectual, spiritual pride. They can be very dangerous, and not seeing the need for revival. I think it happened very much among some who came to love the teachings and the God-centered work of Abraham Kuyper in the Netherlands. Some of those that I studied with, they had a great love for Abraham Kuyper and his teachings. Here was this one who saw how the gospel was to go into all the spheres of life. But they left off the piety, the godliness of Abraham Kuyper, a man who devotionally wrote for the people of God, the man who actually was converted in a small country church, this great intellect who later became Prime Minister of the Netherlands. But these followers left off his devotion to God and to the Lord Christ. There's a danger there to somehow or another think that we can have the intellectual understanding without that spiritual reality. I think there's another reason why many who have come to understand the glory of God in the Scriptures have not shown real interest in revival. There has been in our own day that which has been a fanaticism, that which has taken the very word revival and made their revival meetings. They have brought in multi-millions of dollars and all the kinds of programs that have been put forth with the fanaticism and new biblical, extra-biblical revelations and all that's gone on. There's been a fear of all of that, and therefore a fear of revival. I think that is something that actually occurred among some of the Puritans, like our dear Dr. John Owen in his 16 volumes. There's very little about revival. He was battling, I believe, against those who had rejected the deity of Christ. He was battling against those who were fanatics. He was battling against all these who had twisted the Scriptures. We can overreact, and there's a danger. We need revival in our day, and we need to see our need is desperate for God to bring these times of reformation to our lives. This evening, I ask you, do you have a real interest, a commitment to see God bring revival into your own personal life, into the life of His church? Oh yes, we believe it is something that is from the hand of God, that we can't twist His arm or somehow or another do enough good things. Strange sounding expression, that we would somehow or another deserve or work God into being favorable to giving us these times of refreshment from His presence. No, it's the sovereign work of God. It surprises His people. But are you committed to see God do that work? That work in your own family, in the lives of your children, your grandchildren. It may cost you changing your schedule. It may cost you changing your life. It may cost you a great deal. Is there a commitment on our part? Or is there little interest because we know it would change us and our way of life? I believe we should be interested in revival because we need these times of refreshing from the Lord. And it's these times that will bring salvation, not only to those that we love, but a wider circle. When God's people are turned again to Him, He does great and mighty things through them. God can do that which man is unable to do. Revival shows us the sovereignty of God like nothing else. God comes in answer to our prayers. He rends the heavens. He comes down and He does great and mighty things. It's really the only answer to the sad state of the church in our day. Let us pray together. Our Father, we do pray that You would bring those times of refreshment. Even as we find ourselves at times unable to speak because we are so dry. Oh God, come that we may drink of those streams of living water and then be to others that refreshment of living streams that would flow, oh Lord, to our sons and daughters, to our loved ones, to our neighbors, to those all around us. Touch our hearts, oh Lord, that we would have a commitment to revival, to serving You with all of our hearts and minds and souls. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.